Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues. At the state capitals, they are Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Gentlemen, start your engines. There is so much to get to. We're going to try to do it in 10 minutes. And Michael, we'll begin with you. State lawmakers are suing the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. They argue it is the job of that court to interpret law, not to create law. And the buck stops with them when it comes to election law. What's the big issue here in Pennsylvania?
Well, the legislature has been frustrated with the Supreme Court on a number of issues, but specifically in this case, it has to do with the Supreme Court's ruling changing how ballots are going to be counted and which ballots will be counted in the mail-in ballots that is new to Pennsylvania this election season. The law is pretty clear. It was just passed recently, so it's not something that's been sitting on the books for a long time about how the ballots are to be counted and which ones count. And the Supreme Court kind of just decided on their own to say, you know, we're going to change it. We're going to extend the election beyond November 3rd and count ballots afterwards. And even ones that don't have postmarks, we're going to accept those as valid. All of those sorts of things raise questions about whether people can trust the election process in Pennsylvania, and that's why the legislature is suing.
Yeah, and the clock's not on their side. There's less than 40 days to go here, so we'll see if the Third Circuit upholds that law. We're hearing from a lot of state lawmakers. They feel good about their chances with that lawsuit. Let's head on over to Albany. Jason, lots going on. We want to stay with this election theme for a moment. The governor turning a few heads this week, maybe more than a few, when he suggested the National Guard watch over polling places on Election Day. You really think that's going to happen?
I don't know if it's actually going to happen, and I'm not as concerned with the National Guard being there, an observatory role, spectator, if you will, but I think what it does show is every once in a while, we get to see behind Cuomo's curtain, and what it tells us is the governor realizes how much civil unrest is occurring in his state, and he has some level of concern about it. So what we ought to take away from that is that, yes, there is the spirit of divisiveness, the spirit of unrest that is in the state is something that even our governor, though he rarely speaks about it, obviously has an eye on.
Yeah, he also wants to replace the volunteers, the local poll workers, with maybe state or federal poll workers. Why would he make that move?
Well, that concerns me a little more, to be honest, because I know that oftentimes the staffers and civil service we work with, there's a vested interest in certain political parties being in control. That concerns me a little more. Traditionally, it's been difficult to find poll workers, and I think there was a fear that with all the pandemic talk that it would be hard to find poll workers. But the reality is that is not true. What's being reported across the state is that there has been a surge in volunteer poll worker turnout. And so that's very encouraging for those of us involved in civics here in our state.
Yeah, they're talking about 40,000 poll workers may be needed in Pennsylvania to count all those absentee ballots, Michael. But the president has been in your state no fewer than 5 times in the month of September. He'll be there again tomorrow in Harrisburg. Your sense of just how tight the race is in Pennsylvania?
It's very tight, and it's hard to know whether the polls are really telling us just how tight it is. And that's one of the reasons why the president and the vice president have been visiting our state, and as well as Joe Biden. But the notable difference is the turnout that we're seeing at President Trump's events, the one that's scheduled for the Harrisburg airport this weekend. Already big crowds are signing up, and it is an indication of just how tight the race is here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, the president was in the Pittsburgh area this week, Jason. A lot of people laughed it off as a joke when he hinted that New York might be in play in November. He lost that state by 23 points to Hillary Clinton, but he did win, I think, something like 46 of the 62 counties. Do you think New York will be closer this year than it was 4 years ago?
Well, I think probably when the president is talking about New York and play, it's not so much the presidential level. He may win 50 counties this particular election cycle, but he's probably still not going to win the state. What will be in play, though, are the congressional seats across the state. And where Trump does well in those nearly 50 or 50-plus counties in the state could prove well for Republican members of Congress and every other candidate down ballot from there. That's what I think is in play this particular election.
Yeah, and that's why it's important to vote, because of those down ballot races. Let's talk about the huge story this week, the passing of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And all of a sudden, maybe we have our October surprise in September, Michael. The ramifications of this pick could not be more significant in an election year. We'll know who she is tomorrow. So how does this change the trajectory of the November 3rd election?
Well, it is a kind of a surprise wild card that's been thrown into this, and ultimately what the trajectory is remains to be seen. But it looks like the stars are aligning related to a Senate vote that will get President Trump's nominee up for a vote. And unless there's some big bombshell that drops, it's quite likely the nominee will be confirmed. What that means for the election remains to be seen. I think the Supreme Court has been big for President Trump. The Supreme Court issue in 2016 was key in turning voters out, especially evangelical voters. And how that plays this time around and whether that gins up blue state voters remains to be seen.
Yeah. Do you think that the confirmation will be over with before November 3rd?
I'm thinking that it will. I think that Mitch McConnell and the way the Senate is setting things up suggests that I think that they understand what's at stake and will move quickly.
Well, let's get Jason's thoughts on that as well. You know, a lot of pundits say it was the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation proceedings that saved the Senate for Republicans 2 years ago. Jason, it'd be really interesting to get your thoughts on this. I mean, I don't remember the last president that had three Supreme Court picks. Maybe there was one. I don't remember who that was. But this seems to be unprecedented territory. What are your thoughts overall with coronavirus, with all the racial unrest in this country right now, and now this huge decision at the high court?
Yeah, well, I'm old enough to remember when coronavirus was an election issue. I mean, you know, this is I think what happened with the Supreme Court announcement now and what has happened is something that frankly no one could have timed except God. And I'm going to be more bullish on this. I think that what we're looking at is probably an October 26th vote just before the election. And I think what will happen is that will remind the Trump voters why they supported President Trump in 2016 and drive them to the polls in 2020. If a president can have three Supreme Court picks in his first term, imagine what a second term could mean for that court. And I think that's what's going to bring his base back unified to vote on November 3rd. And I think it's going to make a huge difference in this election.
Yeah, one evangelical leader said all of a sudden coronavirus is background music. We'll see. But this is huge in 2020. While we're talking 2020, Michael, you have an election toolkit for churches. It's on your website. We'll give that address at the end of the broadcast here. What is that? How does it work? And why was this necessary to put together?
Well, Kurt Weaver, who heads our Church Ambassador Network, put this together for pastors and churches so they have the tools that are necessary in this unusual election season. What makes it unusual in Pennsylvania is the fact that for the first time we have early voting, which involves deadlines related to requesting ballots and all of those things. So there's explanations as to how people can access those ballots, what the deadlines are for voter registration. There's voter's guides in there from Pennsylvania Family Council and from Family Research Council and other materials, including graphics and things that pastors and churches can use to educate the congregation about elections in Pennsylvania 2020.
All right, let's talk COVID for just one last moment here, Jason, before we go. You know, one of the issues that kind of flew under the radar during this ongoing national conversation is the fact that now Governor Cuomo might mandate a flu shot for all kids. Your concerns here?
Well, I think that, again, we see government overreach. We saw that, you know, it was only a year or so ago, we saw the repeal of the religious exemption for vaccinations, and now that's already being expanded to include flu shots. And so the real question is, where does this lead? We're hearing in school districts around the state, but most notably in Buffalo, in your listening area, that where students have reached their 14 days of school and they are not vaccinated, even though they are learning remotely, they are being denied access to their online curriculum lessons. It makes no sense whatsoever, and it does not help education of students. Mm. So the indoctrination needs to stop, and the education needs to get started in these schools.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have this week. It's the fastest 10 minutes in radio, but so many more issues we couldn't get to. If you want to know more about the good work going on at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms, Jason, where can folks find you?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
Stay informed on the issues in Pennsylvania as well. Michael Gear, your site, sir?
PAFamily.org.